Our lesson on prayer, and we'll combine the lesson on fasting with that, okay? Prayer and fasting. We approach the Lord with confidence. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's both a throne of grace, and you can find grace because you boldly approach. There are three steps that Daniel 9:19 mentions, three steps to bring before the Lord and ask him to perform those three steps. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. And I think that that effort is a good thing, to be able to be in the presence of the Lord. We give him all of our attention, and we want him to hear, and we bring every thought into captivity, and we cast down imaginations. Have you noticed during prayer time, your mind goes 100 miles an hour about other things? Yeah. Stuff that you've got to do, other situations you've got to take care of? This is where you cast down those imaginations. You bring every thought into captivity. Amen. Where the King James says to gird up the loins of your mind, the New Century Version says, prepare your minds for service and have self-control, making sure you're focused on that area of prayer that you're bringing before the Lord. You want him to hear. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. We search our hearts and ask forgiveness of the areas that we have infractions in the will of God, the Word of God, and perhaps on others as well. We make things right. We ask the Lord to forgive. And thank God he does. What a wonderful blessing that we receive. And at Easter time, when we focus on the cross again, that's where forgiveness is. Where he said, Father, forgive them. And thank the Lord that forgiveness is extended to us again and again. Amen. The blessings of the Lord. And then hearken and do. You make your request known to God. You're not giving him advice. You're not telling him how to do it. But you're asking him to do specific things. And then there are times when Romans 8 begins to operate in your life in a powerful way. And the Spirit makes intercession through you. And Paul said it, it's groanings which cannot be uttered. He's talking about praying in tongues, talking about praying in the Spirit. And that intercession is very important because of the work of the Spirit that is going on. Jude 20 says, build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What a privilege we have. What an opportunity we have to reach out to the Lord in that regard. There's obviously different forms of prayer. There's simple communion with God. We're talking to him as our friend, as our Father, and we're just spending time in his presence. Doesn't necessarily have to be emotional at that point. You're just enjoying his presence. You're just letting him know you appreciate him, you love him, and oftentimes it gets emotional, but it's a simple process, really. And we're reaching for more, desiring more of God and his goodness in our lives. Then supplication begins to take place. We state our needs, and we're specific in the needs because then we get a specific answer. And we're asking the Lord for that direction. You pinpoint your petitions and bringing your cause before the Lord. And praying in tongues is not necessarily just leaving that point, but it's letting the Spirit speak through you, letting His power be displayed in you. And then very often you move into intercessory prayer. And there's groanings which cannot be uttered, as we mentioned from Romans 8 and 26. Regardless of what plan, if you implement a plan of prayer, the prayer clock, you know, the 1 hour, or if you're praying through the tabernacle and you ask the Lord to forgive you at the altar, and you ask the Lord to wash you at the brazen laver, and you're imagining all these things in your mind, or maybe you have a picture of the tabernacle plan and you're just looking at that and praying. That's a good way to work through it as well. But I discovered something unique when I began to pray that plan. I felt so good being forgiven. I felt so good being clean that I began asking God for my loved ones to be able to experience this. My unsaved family, my brother and my sister and so on. And let them know how wonderful it is to be forgiven, how wonderful it is to be cleansed. Praise God. Jesus offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. And that's the kind of praying you can do in intercession as well. We're wrestling in prayer. And we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But the Bible tells us we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. That's quite the opposition. That's not something that you can just play with and feel like, oh, that's nothing. That's easy. No, I understand. You better have Him in you who is greater than he that is in the world. I'm thankful that that is the promise. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. When you have the power of the Spirit of God, you're able to step into this realm of intercessory prayer and go against those principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness, that are holding others captive. And we're reaching for what God desires to bring into their lives. Amen. And there's intercessory prayer. The Lord said, He wondered in His word, He wondered that there was no intercessor. And sometimes intercessory prayer is not the easiest prayer. And well, it isn't. It isn't. It is not. Intercessory prayer is work. It's labor. You feel the presence of the Lord, you feel involvement in His Spirit, but you're going to feel tired when you get done, because it's you're wrestling against all of that opposition. But thank God, Ezekiel 9 talked about a mark that was set upon those that would sigh and that would cry for all of the abominations that were going on in Israel. In other words, they were interceding. And they were crying out to the Lord that there would be changes, that there would be a difference, and that lives would be made different. Praise God. I want the mark of intercession to be on you. I want the mark of intercession to be on this church. Praise God. And then thanksgiving and praise. We know that Psalm 100 says we enter His gates with thanksgiving and we enter His courts with praise. And that opens up the opportunity for us to get into the presence of the Lord. Does God get any glory from having miserable children? No. Go ahead and praise. Go ahead and worship. Go ahead and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. Paul praised God in prison. And he admonished those in Philippi, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And then he said, rejoice evermore. Praise God. And it wasn't because he was just trying to speak things that are positive and trying to come to a point where there would be motivation to do that. He was speaking from experience, the how that he could rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And thank God there's answers. Answers. Amen. There can be answers that are current, that are immediate. Man, like Sister Sherry calling out the name of Jesus and being safe. Man, current situations that are dealt with, immediate answers that are provided. Thank God that we can bring our financial needs before the Lord, employment needs, family situations, and the Lord hears those needs and is able to work in them immediately. He said he would supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Praise God. Amen. It seemed like if you were in Alaska in the 80s, we couldn't spend the money fast enough. New schools, new harbors, new all kinds of things. And they didn't spare the horses. It was spent and spent like there was no tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's here, and we're struggling with the budget, and we're going through all kinds of different scenarios about how it can be fixed and so on. That doesn't happen with God. Amen. You tap into his riches, into his resources again and again and again. Praise God, and he continues to provide. So the answers can be for current situations. They can be something that is memorial, something long-term, something down the road, salvation for family, salvation for friends, maybe a disease, maybe an illness, maybe a situation that has been long-term. But we keep praying constantly, continually. Amen. In prayer for those needs. Praise God. And the Lord undertakes. Should we take no for an answer? Elijah took no for an answer when he said, "Lord, take away my life." He was discouraged. Jezebel was after him. And really, she could have answered his prayer, "Take away my life." That's what she was intending to do. But that was just Elijah feeling like, well, what's the use? And I'm in bad shape and so on. But the Lord said, no, he's not going to take away his life. He had things that he needed to do. He needed to anoint Elisha. He needed to anoint a king of Israel. Amen. And thank God. That the Lord said no. Be ready to hear that from the Lord. And be ready to hear, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll take you through that situation. I won't necessarily deliver you from it, but I'll take you through. Amen. And thank God his grace is sufficient. The answer could be wait, as well as yes. And sometimes the waiting means something greater is coming, that God has something more in mind for you. But there's a readiness that's got to be in place. Now, we feel like we're always ready for an answer, but there may be circumstances that need to be arranged in a certain way. There may be different things that have got to be in place. And that's the readiness that we're talking about. You know, little boys like to grab daddy's razor and sometimes it's not a good situation. Well, those little boys need to wait and not play with razors and so on, until they're old enough to get rid of the peach fuzz, if you don't have a cat to lick the milk off, and so on. So maturity is part of that. Maturity and readiness. Amen. But ask with assurance that God will answer. Now, why fasting? Why is that a part of it? Because the battle is often between the flesh and the spirit. The Lord said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Carnality and unbelief have to be defeated. Strongholds need to be pulled down. And sometimes those strongholds are within yourself. And fasting is going to help you deal with that. Though we walk in the flesh, Paul said, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So if carnality, carnal or earthly, however you want to phrase that, is not how God operates, then we need to work against that and bring it into captivity. Fasting is an ally to faith. God wants you to rely on Him. So many times we rely on our five senses, and that's good. But we go beyond the five senses into the spiritual realm and rely on the Lord. And fasting makes the commitment and the sincerity of that step even greater. And what we're telling the Lord is, hearing from you, Lord, is more important than even my food. Being in your presence, Lord, is more important than having a snack or whatever it might be. You see, there's things that are accomplished when you fast. Fasting and prayer have the complete right of way, if you want to say it that way, to operate in your life without interruptions, without problems coming up. The flesh is arrested and brought into control. Carnality is compelled to yield to the spirit, and we're trying to emphasize that spiritual realm. Unbelief is destroyed, and the spirit has more control. We value unity. We value unity in the house of God. Thank the Lord that we can have unified prayer, that we can have unified worship. Amen. And it amazes me that when we ask people to stand, that there are some young people still sitting there the whole time. Young people with a lot of energy, young people with a lot of get up and go, especially if there's food on the counter and there's games to be played. Come on, there needs to be unity. Sister Annette, who's struggling with the cancer problem, and we're believing God for victory. Amen for that. Amen. And up against that and able to stand and worship. Praise God. These young people can stand and worship just to show unity. Amen. Thank God that there can be that blessing and that power that the Lord brings into our experience as we reach out to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so what you're doing when you fast is you're unifying yourself. If I can say it that way. You're putting everything into focus on God. And you're bringing it all into control, self-control. And you're saying, I'm the boss of my body. And if I have to go without food for a day or two, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to focus on God. And we unify ourselves in that regard. And we're focused on the Lord. Abstinence from food is what we're talking about here. I don't want you to fast without water. To get dehydrated is to invite other problems, especially if you've already got health issues. So Don't fast without water, okay? Make sure you're drinking water. And because you get cold when you fast, maybe drink warm water. Even though that doesn't sound very very good, fast a while and you'll find out how much help it is. Okay, so this idea of unifying ourselves so that we can put our focus and our mind upon the Lord is the purpose of fasting. Moses warned Israel, even though he was leading them to a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, there was abundance. There was much. And they were heading into that. And remember Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 guys? Can't even remember who they are. They came back with grapes from the land and said, indeed, it is a land of plenty. Look what we brought back. And they had two guys on each end of the pole, and they're carrying all of these grapes in to show how fruitful the land is. That's where they were headed. And Moses warned them, when you have eaten and are full, and beware, lest you forget God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And when you're in the place of fullness, it's easy to forget God. So we fast. We make ourselves fast. And our focus is upon the Lord. The rich farmer, nothing wrong with being rich, nothing wrong with having plenty, but his attitude was, you have much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, he was just forgetting his responsibilities to the Lord and to others, and he was just going to enjoy for himself the abundance that was there. The Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Yeah. Now, we're not afflicting ourselves just for the purpose of afflicting. We fast voluntarily because of how valuable that fast is. It's a consecration. And it's a commitment to the Lord. It's telling the Lord, you're more important to me than my daily food. And the more you do fasting, the easier it becomes, because you recognize the spiritual benefits of fasting. Jesus is our example. He fasted in preparation against temptation, and thank God he won those battles. Now, the reason for his fast in Matthew 4 is not given, but I think it was probably to fulfill that passage where it says he was tempted in all points like as we are. We know of three temptations. Turn these stones into bread. That was really a temptation after fasting for that length of time, 40 days. But he overcame. He won the battle. Amen. And thank God you and I can do so as well. In Matthew 17, the boy with the demon, the demon was trying to destroy him. And that's what the Lord said. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Casting him into the fire when he had these seizures, and casting him into the water. I don't think those were accidents. I don't think that was just coincidental that water was where he fell and fire was where he stumbled and so on. No, the devil was purposely trying to destroy that boy. And so the distraught father brought his boy to the disciples to cast out the demon. But they couldn't do it. And Jesus quickly healed and delivered him. And when the situation settled down to some degree, the disciples asked, how come we couldn't do that? Because remember, in Luke 10:19, they rejoiced that even the devils were subject to them in the name of Jesus. They were thrilled with the power and the authority that they had. But this one didn't work. Jesus gave the explanation. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. And it just means that you've got to have power. You've got to focus on the power that God wants to give you more so than food for a few meals or for a few days. Just saying, oh, God, there are situations in this world. There are hurting people. There are people that I will meet that I will need to pray for them. And I want your power. And I can't do it, Lord. I don't have the power. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the ability. But you can give it to me, Lord. So we fast. And we ask the Lord for the work that is to be done. Miracles and mighty works were done by the Lord after that 40-day fast. And that power was there. The disciples were told they were going to fast after the bridegroom left. And sure enough, they followed through on that, and the Lord continued his work in their lives and in the church. Spiritual giants that we know in the Scripture all fasted. Moses and Elijah fasted for 40 days. David and Daniel fasted extensively. John the Baptist fasted. And I think if I ate wild locusts and honey, I would fast from time to time as well. But he fasted. And Paul described in 2 Corinthians 11 some of the spiritual responsibility that he had was in fasts often. What for? For spiritual power. Amen. And Jesus let us know at the end time that the comparison of the days of Noah and the days of Lot with the days that he is coming. And he said they were eating and drinking before the flood. And in other words, there was, well, eating and drinking is necessary to stay alive. But they were living to eat instead of eating to live. And there is a difference. And they were carefree living. So what? Doesn't matter. We'll just, everything's going to go on. Luke 21 and 34 gives us a warning about things that can become more important to us. And we're unaware of the spiritual responsibilities or the spiritual things that could be coming upon us. Take a look in the King James as I share with you from the New Living Translation. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. And that's the warning of the Lord. So, fasting helps us with determining spiritual benefits as well as health. There are situations that are taken care of there. Temptations can be overcome. Loved ones can be saved. Souls can be converted. Revival can break out because of a focus on spiritual things. Amen. We seek the anointing of the Spirit, and that anointing is necessary on your pastor and on the leaders of ministries that we have in the church. And it's important that you have an anointing. As I said, there's so many hurting people in this world, and you may have only one opportunity to interface with them, and it's important that you be able to share your faith and speak with power. You need that anointing. Jesus talked about the temple being the house of prayer. And they made it into a den of thieves, and he was driving them out and overturning the tables and so on. He got pretty worked up about it. And then he said, don't defile the temple. Talking about you being the temple. Fasting is like a healthy house cleaning for your body. It's a vacation, so to speak, of some of the body organs and gives them time to recuperate. It helps against health problems. there's lots of situations that come to inflict people because of wrong eating habits and so on. But there can be a house cleaning that takes place during fasting, and even a mental house cleaning, overcoming negative emotions, overcoming bad habits, spiritual purification, and making sure you're following what the Word of God says to do. There's a problem in just in the natural with prepared foods. A lot of prepared foods are being consumed now because of our busy schedule. A lot of sodium in those. And a lot of salt leads to heart problems. So fasting helps with those things. Who said a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down? Well, that was a cute song, but too much sugar is going to cause a lot of problems. And you got to make sure you're being careful. And too much eating leads to other problems, hypertension, blood pressure, high blood pressure, cholesterol, affects joints in your legs and your ankles and so on. So fasting helps you address those kinds of things and work against them. Now, hunger, as well as habit, is hard to overcome. And your stomach lets you know that, hey, haven't had anything down here in a while. You know, open your mouth, send something down. It's a difficult battle. And we eat generally three times a day, and so that's a habit. We're used to having a morning meal, a noon meal, and an evening meal. And the body craves food not only from appetite, but from habit. So when food is withheld, guess what you think about? Thinking about food. Oh, can't wait until this fast is over. It's a battle both physical and mental. And so it takes discipline. You're a disciple. It takes discipline to work through that. Start with one day. You don't have to dive into a week. No, that's not the way to start. One day, and then go from there. You drink water to help with the hunger, and then your stomach is growling. Let that be a reminder, like an alarm clock. Oh, time to read the Word. Time to pray. And that can distract hunger by reading the Word of God and praying, and spiritual things that you're focusing on. Prayer is very important. Think about all the time that is used to prepare a meal, set the table and sit down and eat a meal, and then clean up afterwards. That's quite a bit of time. Use that time for prayer, or at least part of it, and then drink that water because it's very important. Special needs, sometimes we'll declare a two-day fast or longer, and you can start disciplining yourself to fast one day a week or more days or even weeks as you learn how. But you condition your mind. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Jesus said, wash your face. In other words, you know, look all mournful and everything. Just go ahead and keep going. Keep the spirit of prayer. And continue to pray for specific needs. And a rule of thumb is to drink 6 glasses of water a day. And to do so is going to help you. Your body is cleansing. And so your breath is going to be off. So use some spray, use some mints, cough drops, whatever. You're going to get cold. Hot baths help out before you go to bed. Stay active. Walk around and walk and pray, and get plenty of rest. And if you're on an extended fast, move slow, so that you're not going to topple over from getting dizzy. But dress warm, and drink warm water. You know, these are just real practical things to keep in mind, because the devil doesn't want you to fast. He doesn't want you to get that spiritual power. He doesn't want you to be able to impact others. And so he's going to try to make it even more difficult. Now, an extended fast has to be broken in a certain way. Intense hunger will return, and you really have to control it. You can't load your plate up. You know, even after 3 days of fasting, you can't have two helpings of biscuits and gravy and ham and bacon and four eggs. You know, we missed 3 days. Man, I got to catch up. You can't do it that way. You're going to tear your stomach up. And drink lots of liquids, fruit juices and so on. A rule of thumb on an extended fast, one day is not as much, but on an extended fast, use as many days to break back into food as you did without food. Okay? And soft foods are a good way to go. Joel 1 and 14, sanctify ye a fast. Joel 2:28, we love it. We love to go there. That's where Joel prophesied and Peter preached. But this fast thing is real important. Prayer and fasting have never failed yet. They haven't. That's why we tag in on it. That's why we keep working with it. And in spiritual warfare, don't limit yourself. Spiritual warfare is intense. Spiritual warfare is hazardous. You don't want to step in that arena on your own. Don't step into that arena on your own. Prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, expecting His power. Amen. He said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. Praise God. Now, here's the main passage, Isaiah 58:6. We're going to end here. Isaiah 58:6. That this is God's chosen fast. And it's a chosen fast that results in spiritual power. And look at the results of the spiritual power. Look at what it does now. This is why we fast. It looses the bands of wickedness. It undoes the heavy burdens. The oppressed can go free. And it will break every yoke. Now that's power. That is power. That's why we fast. Because God wants to reveal His power through you. God wants to show His power and what He can do. Remember, Paul said, think of your calling, brethren. Not a whole lot of noble people. Not a whole lot of wise. Not a whole lot of mighty. That's not who God chose. God chose the foolish. Not very complimentary when you think about it. But what Paul is trying to say is, you didn't have it in you. God didn't say, that's what I've been looking for all this time. There's the key. No, He wants to use something and someone that had nothing, and infuse you with His power. Praise God. And then the devil is staggering backwards because he went, oh, they've got power. They're pulling down strongholds. They're defeating my design and my plan. And then he makes you get hit by a car or makes you run into a moose and try to upset you and try to scare you, try to hold you back. But you claim the promises of God and you fast again. And you let the devil know you're not going to win. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. Hallelujah. I'm going to fast so that bands of wickedness are broken, so that heavy burdens are undone, so that the oppressed go free, so that the yokes are broken, that the devil tries to wrap around people. Hallelujah. Oh, let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. Glory to God. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to pray. Brother Norm, Sister Belinda need our prayers. The Hyler family. Brother Norm's mother passed away. And they're back in Missouri to be in place for service there on Saturday. So let's hold them up in prayer. God would use them in a special way. Amen. The Wades need our prayers. They would love to be in church. They would love to be. But health is hindering them at this point, and we want the Lord to minister to them. Praise God. The Abbots are in Mexico and getting treatments. We want the Lord to be with them. Amen. Minister to them and bring them home safely. The Lord's using them right there. Amen. They're praying with people in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God. That's the power that God wants to show. Amen. Let's bring these three needs to the Lord. Jesus, we look to you.